Chapter 71. The Battle of Reims. It was not the first time that the king had had to undergo misfortunes, and now, as then, he met them like a man. The Prince of Joinville was not successful in his campaign against the imperial pretender, and that bravery which had put the British fleet to flight was found, as might be expected, insufficient against the irresistible courage of native Frenchmen. The horse marines, not being on their own element, could not act with their usual effect. Accustomed to the tumult of the swelling seas, they were easily unsaddled on terra firma and in the Champagne country. It was literally in the Champagne country that the meeting between the troops under Joinville and Prince Napoleon took place. For both armies had reached Reims, and a terrific battle was fought underneath the walls. For some time nothing could dislodge the army of Joinville, entrenched in the champagne cellars of Messrs. Runert, Meat, and others. But making too free with the fascinating liquor, the army at length became entirely drunk. On which the imperialists, rushing into the cellars, had an easy victory over them, and, this done, proceeded to intoxicate themselves likewise. The Prince of Joinville, seeing the derout of his troops, was compelled with a few faithful followers to fly towards Paris, and Prince Napoleon remained master of the field of battle. It is needless to recapitulate the bulletin which he published the day after the occasion, so soon as he and his secretaries were in a condition to write. Eagles, pyramids, rainbows, the son of Austerlitz, and sea, figured in the proclamation, in close imitation of his illustrious uncle. But the great benefit of the action was this. On arousing from their intoxication, the late soldiers of Joinville kissed and embraced their comrades of the imperial army and made common cause with them. Soldiers, said the prince, on reviewing them the second day after the action, the cock is a gallant bird, but he makes way for the eagle. Your colors are not changed. Ours floated on the walls of Moscow, yours on the ramparts of Constantine. Both are glorious. Soldiers of Joinville, we give you welcome, as we would welcome your illustrious leader, who destroyed the fleets of Albion. Let him join us. We will march together against that perfidious enemy. But, soldiers, intoxication dimmed the laurels of yesterday's glorious day. Let us drink no more of the fascinating liquors of our native Champagne. Let us remember Hannibal and Capua, and, before we plunge into dissipation, that we have Rome still to conquer. Soldiers, seltzer water is good after too much drink. Wait a while, and your emperor will lead you into a seltzer water country. Frenchmen, it lies beyond the Rhine. Deafening shouts of Vive l'Empereur saluted this illusion of the prince, and the army knew that their natural boundary should be restored to them. The compliments to the gallantry of the Prince of Joinville likewise won all hearts, and immensely advanced the prince's cause. The Journal des Debats did not know which way to turn. In one paragraph it called the emperor sanguinary tyrant, murderer, and pickpocket. In a second it owned he was magnanimous rebel, and worthy of forgiveness. And, after proclaiming the brilliant victory of the Prince of Joinville, presently denominated it an uneast journey. The next day the emperor, as we may now call him, was about to march on Paris, when Messrs. Runert and Meat were presented, and requested to be paid for 300,000 bottles of wine. And 300,000 more to the Tuileries, said the prince, sternly. Our soldiers will be thirsty when they reach Paris. And taking Meat with him as a hostage, and promising Runert that he would have him shot unless he obeyed, with trumpets playing and eagles glancing in the sun, the gallant imperial army marched on their triumphant way. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.